Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie, and this is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Okay, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Off Script.
I'm Allie.
I'm Bree.
And we compare books to their movies.
And then tell you about it.
Yep.
Which sometimes sounds like a boring podcast. Like when I'm sitting there doing it, I'm like, do people actually listen to us?
Do they enjoy this?
Do they like us spoiling the book and the movie for them?
They might.
They might. It's like legit, like, spoil. You wanted to watch this movie? Well, it sucks. You want to read this book? Well, I mean, you still can, but now you know everything.
Maybe we should put that in the description. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we spoil things.
In my head, you're only listening if you've read or seen the book or movie.
Yeah. Oh, like next week too with Aragorn, I realized we not only talk about Aragorn, but we talk about the other books in the series. So if people are like, oh, it's okay, I read Aragorn,
but I didn't read the other ones. That's well, because Allie and I do not plan on reading. Yes.
I plan on putting a warning on our post being like, just smart. So you know.
That's smart. I probably should put that in the description.
Because I'm like, oh, well. I mean, I don't care, but
but others might. Yes,
they just might.
Yes, good point.
But anyways, so today we're doing Brokeback Mountain.
Yes, I was actually really, really excited to do this one, and I am so glad we did it.
Me too.
It was actually really one of my favorite ones. It. Yeah, yeah, it
yeah.
was good.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Also, it's almost Pride Month, you guys.
Yeah,
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month.
Yes, we're very proud to support our.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQ community.
Plus A. Or wait.
Plus, yeah, what is it all?
LGBTQIA plus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here for you guys.
Yes.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna paint the picture.
Okay, go.
I've been texting you about it, but I just need to come and talk about it.
Okay, go.
Because I'm so sad that I slept on this book.
Okay. Oh.
Guys, 2017, it's the year 2017 is what I'm trying to say. Okay. And Bree, being Bree, went and bought Stephanie Meyer's newest book and put it on the shelf and didn't read it because she knew when she went to read The Host the first time, it took her forever to actually read it. I like read the first five chapters of The Host and was like, oh, I can't do this. It's not Twilight. So I didn't read it, and then they were making it into a movie, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to read it. Then I read it again, and I was like, wow, this book is actually like, once you get to the meat of it, which honestly is like the third chapter, it's a really good book. But just because it wasn't Twilight, I didn't have my Edward there. So I've been very adamant about trying to read my For Me books when I can, and a lot of my For Me books our series, and I don't have the wherewithal to do that just yet with our off-script books.
Yes.
Like, once we're further ahead of our schedule, I'll go back to reading my series. Mm-hmm. But right now I was like, okay, I need my one-off books right now, and I'm actually really excited someone let me borrow their Fairy Tale, which is a Stephen King book that's apparently not horror.
Oh,
so I'm really excited.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I've had The Chemist on my bookshelf since 2017. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start it. You guys. This is the book that I wish she was making into a TV show right now. Like,
wow, is that good?
Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's about this girl who's like really good at chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said biology. Not the same thing.
Nope.
So she's really good at chemistry. And so she like, she makes.
I'm too bad we're not recording right now. You're a little...
I know. Do you know what I'm trying to do?
No, I do not.
It's a needle. It's a syringe. It's a syringe. Okay. She makes little like concoctions and syringes, and like she finds ways to, because basically the government hired her to be the person who would torture people to get information for them.
Okay.
But she did it in a way that wasn't like, it's not like physical. Well, it is physical torture, but it's not like beating them up or waterboarding or things like that. It's in the syringes. It's things that like make their muscles spasm and basically like makes them want to talk.
Oh, weird.
And she does it like where it's like at first not so bad, but kind of makes you go, oh, I should probably tell. But then if you're going to keep the information, she makes it get progressively worse.
Wow.
But the story is that the government then, because she knows too much, kills her and her, or they try to kill her and her mentor.
Uh-huh.
They get her mentor, but she runs away. She was like in the bathroom the day that they did it.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, thank my lucky stars, I had like drank too much water that day or something like that. I can't remember. But so then she's on the run. And so she's like, when she's in a safe house, she booby traps it so that there's all these gases that'll come if someone comes in, and wow. She sleeps in a gas mask. But then the government contacts her and it's like, we need your help. Like, we're ready to call a truce if you want. We're ready to call a truce. We just need your help with something. So she at first is like, I don't know if I should trust this, but also like, why are they reaching out to me? They could be just sending someone to kill me right now. Like, this actually might be real. She goes, talks to them. They tell her that there's this guy who's going to release a crazy flu virus that's like going to kill everyone. So then she's like, oh my gosh, this is scary. And they give her a date for when they want her to bring him in. And she's like, maybe I should help them, maybe not. But she's like, well, they told me to do it by Monday. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Get my information to see where the hook is if they're lying. So she gets this guy. And this guy is a sweet guy who like starts flirting with her right off the bat.
Okay.
And she's like, what the heck? So that she puts in this like, she called it the follow the leader drug. And so it basically makes him trust her to follow her, because this is the guy who she's supposed to be bringing in, right? So she gets him to where she needs him, and she starts, she like knocks him out and gets him ready to start torturing him. And then she wakes him up and starts torturing him. And he's like, I do not have any idea what you're talking about. Like, I am not this person that you say. And she like starts showing pictures, and he's like, ooh, that's not me. And she's like, what the heck is it? Like, right. I see that you see that it's you. Like, why are you like this?
His twin brother.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's like a soap opera.
It is, except twin brother works for the CIA and has told them that he's dead because of the jobs that he's doing. So then they realize, because no one's releasing a virus, they wanted her to torture him because they wanted the twin brother to come and kill her.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they also wanted him to die, the twin brother.
Okay.
And so now where I'm at, they're like, they're basically flipping the script on them. Except for the guy who is just the poor teacher who's a volleyball coach at a high school. His name's Daniel, right? And so poor Daniel doesn't know anything about this life. And so they get him to a safe house. And what's the first thing he does? He goes on a shopping spree. He goes and gets like all the groceries. And because he wants to still take this girl on a date, he like buys candles for her, goes and buys a movie for them to watch, and like all this stuff. And she like, he gets back and she's like, what in the hell, dude? You just like put us at risk.
He's like, I just want to take you on a date.
Yeah. She's like, well, no. But yeah, so It's so good. Yeah. I love Stephanie Meyer. She's a great author.
Well, that's good.
I need her to write other books. Like, oh. I don't even need the two Twilight books you're saying that you're writing. Just give me other books. Your last book came out in 2017. It took me this long to read it. But
well, hopefully no one else is in the middle of The Chemist because you just threw it all out there.
No.
Oh, no?
No, I'm only halfway through.
Oh, well, oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's only halfway. Yeah. Okay, then.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see what happens. Okay. I won't tell you guys, but I will say you need to freaking read it. It's so good.
That's like a lot to happen in half of a book.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
What else could happen?
Yeah. Oh, you would like it too because Kevin, he trains dogs, and so there's a bunch of dogs in the book.
I would like it.
Yeah.
Because I need to turn it into a movie.
One named Lola.
Read it.
Watch it. There's one named Lola, one named Khan. It's Great Dane. It's a whatever. And then it was really cute because Kevin is going to set up their flip for the guys who basically set them up. Uh-huh. And he wanted the dogs to protect Daniel because he was like, okay, he's the one who, like, she knows how to take care of herself. He also doesn't trust her or like her. So he's like, I don't care what happens to you. But then he was like, the only word he taught them for like the target that they need to protect is honey. So he was like, Lola, honey, and like put it to Daniel. And he was like, why did you just call me honey? That's so stupid. And he was like, I'm sorry, but in my head, when I'm giving this command, I always pictured it being a woman or a kid.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So,
okay, well, cool. Really good. All right.
Yeah, there's my picture for you guys. I'm reading a For Me book that I'm absolutely loving.
Well, that's a good picture.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
And I got to talk about it, which is my favorite thing to do. I love talking about books I love.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, are we ready for our synopsis?
No.
Okay, do you call, is he Ennis or Enos?
I say Enos, okay. But I think the movie said Ennis.
I really don't know.
I think it's Enos.
Okay. Enos and Jack are two ranch workers who develop a relationship. Their relationship is complicated, though, because it is kept secret from their current girlfriends and the rest of the world.
I just realized if we put a J in front of that, it would be... Did you hear my, like, throat?
Yes.
It sounded like fucking alien. I'm going to have an alien pop out my stomach. What sucks is now I'm going to have to keep that.
Yes, you are.
But if you put a J in front of Enos, we would say Janice or like Jennifer. So it probably is Ennis.
Okay. Ennis.
Or Ennis. Or like Dennis? Ennis.
Oh, yeah, it would be Ennis.
Mm-hmm. That's not how I read it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, author Annie Prolux?
Prolux?
Prolux? Prolux? Okay. Director Ong Lee. Screenplay writer Larry McMurdy.
Yeah.
And Diana? Is that how you would say?
Yeah.
Diana.
How
else? Oh, I've Diana. Seen Diana or Diana.
Yeah, that's Diana.
Okay. Osana?
Osana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Audiobook reader is Campbell Scott. I mean, he read it like... I would have thought a older story. This is, except it's not older. It was written in 97. Yeah. It sounds like a recording from 97, like that type of story.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So, speaking of, book came out October 13th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Movie December 9th, 2005. That's an 8-year difference.
Nice.
Yeah. Which first?
I watched it first.
And I read it first.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually excited to see what you choose.
Yeah. Okay. Initial thoughts.
I love this story. It's a sweet story.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Why did we pick this book movie? Because I love... Okay, Jake Gyllenhaal is one of my movie babes. Like... I know Taylor Swift hates him, and really, I should too after her song. But man, if he were here right now and wanted to date me, I'd be down. I'm like, yeah, I'll be the girl that changes you.
And it's funny because you didn't even realize it was Pride, almost Pride
no,
Month.
No, so, I accidentally did that very well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a perfect one for right before Pride Month. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize. So
like, you're right. It is
very coincidental. But yeah.
Okay. I should have played that off like I did that.
Like, yes.
Instead, I went with
exactly.
You know, with on my brain.
Oh, gosh. All right, you guys. Let's do. I had so many. I couldn't. I couldn't. There are 10 of them. Yeah. I could not narrow it down. And Bruce said it's okay because
this book is
identical.
Yeah, it's short. We're barely going to talk during it, I bet.
Yes.
So
you're just going to hear silence throughout the whole thing.
Yep. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to turn on the movie and watch it and hope that you're also watching it. And then we'll just stay silent. And
that's what happened. All right. So Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams met and fell in love on set. And she gave birth to their daughter, Matilda, shortly before the film premiere. But they broke up in 2007. But Jake Gyllenhaal is the godfather.
I didn't know that. That is the sweetest.
That's so cute. Oh. Heath Ledger, number two. Heath Ledger declined to go on the 1 month cowboy camp that had been organized because he grew up on farms.
Oh.
In Australia. I didn't know he was Australian. Yeah. But that makes total sense. Gosh. Jake Gyllenhaal was required to go, though, because he needed to roughen up.
That's hilarious.
Writer Annie, what did we say? Prolks?
Yeah.
Sent both Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger an original autographed copy of her story. And she signed the copy to Jake. She wrote to Jake. But when she signed it to Heath Ledger, she said to Ennis. After writing a personal message, she realized what she had done. Like, she didn't even realize she did it.
That's and so sweet.
She decided to let it be because she said he was exactly who she pictured. He embodied Ennis in every way.
Oh, I know. That's so sweet.
Right?
Oh, I love that.
I know. Because he was perfect.
Honestly, they both are, yes. In my opinion.
Yes, they were.
I can see it. Heath did so good in this.
Okay. According to reports, Heath Ledger nearly broke co-star Jake Gyllenhaal's nose when they were filming the kiss scene, which is hilarious because in the book, he did break his nose.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I thought that was so funny.
See, he's Ennis.
Yes. Okay. Ang Lee said that he was unfamiliar with Anne Hathaway before her audition, and he was warned by the casting director that she's going to come in. She's going to look kind of strange, you know, just go with it. Because she was in the middle of filming Princess Diaries 2. So she came in heavy makeup and princess dress to read for her part.
Awkward.
I know, right?
That's hilarious.
I would be like, okay.
She's like, don't worry. I don't only do like children's movies. Yes. Please cast me.
During its first weekend release, playing in only 5 U.S. theaters, it set a record for the highest pre-screen gross of any non-animated movie in history.
Wow.
Isn't that impressive?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember it being a big deal when it came out.
Oh, it was huge.
Yeah.
Yes. The poster for the film was deliberately styled to resemble another romantic epic, Titanic.
That makes sense.
I had to look it up, and it definitely
does. It does, for sure. No, once I saw that, I was like, oh, it is the Titanic cover.
Number 8. A week into the start of the film shoot, 2 crew members came out inspired by the story. Oh, I love that.
That's adorable.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
I know. Oh. In the scene where Ennis dives into an alley to be sick, Heath Ledger did an unprompted punch of the wall and it nearly broke his hand.
Dang.
I know. Oh. I was watching him. I'm like, ow. Like, that looks like it hurt. I was like, it's just acting. It's okay. And then I'm like, why does he keep doing it?
Like, stop it, sir. That's Ouchies.
Okay, last one. This was never shown theatrically in China because it was deemed to be such a niche interest and it didn't warrant a release. Nevertheless, it became one of the biggest bootleg titles to flood the Chinese home video market.
Aww.
I know.
I love this movie.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Because it came out in 2005, right?
Yeah.
So that was, we were seventh grade. Nope. Yep.
Yay.
Yes.
Eighth grade?
December 2005. Yeah, we would have been eighth because we graduated. Eighth grade promotion in 2006. So if it December 2005, yeah, we would have been eighth grade.
Yep.
Yeah. So I remember it being, you know, being middle schoolers with a movie like this. And this was really one of the first
gay movies. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the talk.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I watched it, I didn't want my parents to know that I was watching it.
That's so horrible. Like, that's how it was back then. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy it's not like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it is, but
not like
it's not widely like that anymore.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I love seeing in Lightyear the gay couple.
Yeah.
And in Strange World, another Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Mm-hmm. There's the gay couple. And my brother, who is gay, said that that's one of his favorite things about Schitt's Creek.
Yes. I love Schitt's Creek.
Uh-huh. Is that.
Yeah.
It's their, what is his name?
David?
Yes. He's gay.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't make a big deal about it.
It's never the storyline.
No.
It's just, he is what he is.
Uh-huh. There's never a coming out story. Mm-hmm. He's just, and I never thought of that, but it's so true in most
stories. It's always a kid being heartbroken and crying and sad because they have to come out, or don't have to, but want to, but know that people won't be accepting of it.
Yeah. And so that's always the main focal point. So having more movies out there that are just, that's the character.
Mm-hmm. I just saw one the other day and I can't think of it now, but literally when it happened, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. I love that we're in an era where it's okay.
Yeah. And it helps that we're in a state.
Yeah. We're in a very liberal state.
Yes. That it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. On this side. This side of the state.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah. But.
Guys, we're fighting for you. At least I try.
Yes. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought a shirt that says love is love. And I was just like, it's just the cutest shirt. I love it so much. I had to buy it. So anyways, those are all my fun facts.
Good fun facts.
Thanks.
I think let's do this.
Okay.
Guys, ready for our shortest episode
it
yet?
It literally was an hour read. So
it was an hour read and I only have a page and about a half of notes. And most of them aren't even about the movie or book.
All right. Okay, so the book kicks off with Ennis and another guy named Jack were hired on as ranch hands for the summer to watch over the sheep on the mountain.
Well, hold your horses there, lady.
Okay.
First, it starts and Ennis is an old man and he's reflecting on his life.
You're right. Sorry.
And then this.
Okay.
That's important because my first note is Ennis does not start out as an old guy.
Okay. can't take one of your five notes away.
Exactly.
They were about 20 years old. That happens.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does. I did say, I'll just say some stuff right now.
Okay.
In the movie, there's way more detail added to the stories. So it's like, it's funny because it's added, but it's not at the same time. Like, it's just, you see it come to fruition. You see them hanging out at the trailer waiting to get hired as the ranch hands, and you see them talking to the boss to get hired. So it's a little bit more drawn out and doesn't happen as quick as the book, but it's literally spot on from what the book has. Literally,
it's like what you would imagine is happening, because the book does the book does what we do, where it's very mm-hmm. quick bullet point, like, this is what happened, this is what happened, this mm-hmm. is what happened. Whereas the movie just shows the in between parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things is that because of this, basically, it felt like the script was straight from the book, too.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll say my next note a little bit later.
Okay. So Jack brought his blue healer pup with them, and they both were set up at different camps to watch over the sheep. And Jack was pissed off because he had to drive, or not drive so much, ride the horse, right? So much back mm-hmm. and forth. And so...
Did you picture when you were reading this, the like camp to be that far away from the sheep?
No.
I like pictured it maybe like down a hill.
Yes. No, not that far so at all.
The movie, I was like, oh shit. No wonder he was complaining.
Yeah, it was far. But so they started to hang out more, and they got to know each other, playing the harmonica and all that sort of stuff, and singing and stuff like that.
Yeah. One of my favorite things in the movie is they had Jack singing. In the book, it was a big deal because one of the songs that Jack sang was Water Walkin' Jesus, because that's what his mama used to sing. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, they had him singing it. I was like, that's cute. I like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
So at night, it was Ennis tried to sleep outside?
Yes.
Ennis tried to sleep outside because he stayed too late, so he couldn't go down to the sheep because they switched roles. And but Jack's like, just get in here. The bedroll's like big enough. Just fine. Get in here. And then they just go for it. It was like there was no buildup at all in the book. It was just.
I like how you say that. You make it sound like they just go to bed.
Oh, they definitely did not go to sleep. No.
They go for it.
Yeah, they went for it. And they never spoke about it, though. They were like, nah, I'm not gay. And he's like, oh, no, this is just Brokeback. And they agreed to keep it just between them. Mm-hmm. But their boss saw. And he even watched for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a perv.
I know. Maybe he's a little.
Maybe.
In the movie, with them adding a little bit more, you actually see a little bit more of a like romantic tension build up. You see that they're talking to each other rather than it being just this like random like, oh.
Like, right. Because it was very much like. Well, that was like,
I know. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to like start off as like, just like, okay, yeah, we're going to sleep together, buddies. And then it turns into, and then it was like, oh, nope. Okay. That's how they'll keep each other warm.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, I guess I should say this because then they're already splitting off. Mm-hmm. So I also really, I think Keith and Jake do such a good job. Like, I feel like they're really in a relationship together in this movie.
It was
they're so,
so
cute together. Uh-huh. I love them. Also, in the movie, at this point, after Brokeback, when they're about to split their ways, I really like that Ennis mentions that he doesn't know where his shirt went.
Yeah, because it was never mentioned until the end of the book.
Uh-huh. But so in the movie, it gets mentioned right here.
It was to make sure we noticed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Listen and find out why.
So Jack and Ennis.
Look, I'm already done with my one page of notes. Now I only have that.
Oh, my gosh. So Jack asks Ennis if he's going to work again next summer. And Ennis is like, nah, since I'm getting married. And he's trying not to pay attention to Jack's bruised jaw because he punched him and. They parted ways and Ennis felt so bad. He pulled over and he like tried to get sick out of his car and it was bad. It was so sad. He wasn't in a truck in the movie. That's what I noticed. He was walking and he just ran into the, was he in a truck? He said he pulled over on the side of the road.
Oh no, he was walking.
Oh, was he? So when it said pulled over, it just meant like,
oh himself. Wait, no, because they went from the little trailer to the town. He went into a town, so yeah, he had to have driven.
Right.
I just think, no, maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. I think I am. He gets out of the car.
Yeah.
I remember him getting out and running to the thing, which is funny too, because you would think, why would you run into a little alley if you're feeling like that? I mean, it's because that's how it was written in the book, but
yeah,
you would think if you're feeling like that, you just open the car door and then get sick out the car door rather than get out of the car and run to an alley.
Yeah, definitely. So then Ennis gets married and his wife gets pregnant, and him and his wife are chatting, and then it goes into about how they finish chatting and they have sex, and he finishes with things that he did with Jack that his wife doesn't appreciate very much.
AKA he flipped her over.
I wasn't gonna go into detail. I feel like people would understand.
I know, but I also feel like you skirted around it a little bit.
Well, I don't want to. This is not a sex pod. Yes,
I know that, but he just went back to his old ways.
Okay.
Back to broke back.
There you go. Okay. So now 4 years have passed, and he gets a postcard from Jack that he's going to be in town, and he asks if he wants to meet up, and he immediately sends him his address back and says, of course. And
I love how
he says, you bet, or something like that.
He says, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
I love how happy Heath looked when he got that letter.
I know.
I was like, oh, you played that so well. I actually saw a thing on Instagram, not Brokeback related. Sorry. Now I'm just talking about Heath. My heart. I didn't even put two and two together. Did you see the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix?
Mm-mm.
You've probably seen him like dancing on the stairs though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, someone on Instagram on a reel was like, who noticed the subtle nod to Heath, and then put right underneath Heath's dance on the stairs at Stadium versus his the Joker's stair dance, and it's almost like it's a little different, but it's very much the same. And I was like, they did that so well because they had to know how hard it was going to be to do anything Joker related,
right?
Because Heath did such a great job with that role too. I mean, Joaquin hands down is great too, but
yes.
I saw that and I loved it.
Yeah, I know, we have a special place for Heath.
Yeah, I've always loved Heath.
Yes, we went to Stadium, so
yeah, we did
10
yeah.
Things I Hate About You. That was our school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, when I tell people that, they're like, what?
I know. But did you didn't have Mr. Wilson, did you? English.
I don't think so. No.
He's in the movie, so I always tell
what?
Yeah, you see him. He's in the very first scene, and he just walks by.
No way!
So I'm always like, that's my English teacher,
how
and I tell
cool.
everyone that.
Meanwhile, we're at that school. Like, that's our school, but, like, how cool
well,
is
that's,
that?
That's my teacher who, like, let me watch Nightmare Before Christmas 50 million times. I love that
so
English
cool.
teacher.
Man, I want to go back and watch that movie, and I haven't watched it in a hot minute.
Oh, I watch it quite often.
Ugh,
yeah.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, so I love Heath. I've always loved Heath, but yeah.
Okay.
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 So he wrote back, you bet.
Yes. And so then here comes Jack, and they immediately start kissing on the porch. And
he just did not care. He ran up those stairs and kissed him. I'm like, whoa.
I know. In public.
Yeah.
Or out in the open.
Yeah. It's like, buddy.
Yeah. And Ennis' wife catches them, but she acts like she didn't. And Ennis said he probably won't come home tonight because they're going to get drinking and talking. And yeah. So, but of course they head straight to the hotel.
They stray
straight to the hotel.
This was such a hard scene to watch because Michelle did so well breaking down while also not breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, that's tough. And then like the scenes following after this where like has this now becomes a regular thing and she's like picking up their kids and they're fighting more and like he leaves the room and she just breaks down crying. It's like, oh,
right.
It was hard to watch.
Because watching it, like your first thought is like, oh, she's crying because, you know, he's gay.
Uh-huh.
But then it also clicks that it's like, he's not only gay, but he's cheating on her.
Yeah.
So it was sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's like, all she wants is for him to be honest.
Right.
Rather than go and cheat on her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if it really bothers her that he's gay.
Right.
Like, I think that's a whatever. It's the fact that they're married.
Yeah.
And he's still.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. We should have said also this book takes place in the 60s, right?
Yeah, it does. It takes place. Oh yeah, we really should for what's coming.
Yeah.
yeah, it takes place when this was not okay and this was not an out and out thing.
It wasn't even slightly, yeah, like understanding.
Yeah.
So we find out that Ennis has two girls and Jack is married with a little boy. So they've each gone and like done their own lives. And Ennis asks Jack if he's ever been with any other guys. And Jack says no, but we find out he was lying. And as readers, we know he's lying. Yes. Ennis never found out, I don't think. Or, I mean, he did, but not there.
Yeah.
Jack tries to convince Ennis to come back to his place and start a farm because his father-in-law basically is going to pay to get rid of him because he hates him so much. And Ennis is like, no, we can't do that because when he was younger, his dad showed him a guy who was mutilated and murdered because he was gay. And he's like, we can't do that. And we got families and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And
what kind of a piece of shit dad?
Seriously, come like, look at this murdered body.
Uh-huh. Ugh. It's because he didn't want his kids to be gay.
Yeah,
but like
that's not how it works.
What kind of piece of shit dad?
Not how it works. Sorry.
I hate people.
I know. They're the worst. And they spoke about Brokeback, and Jack didn't share, though, how he tried to get the job back, but his boss said no because he saw them going at it.
That made me so sad. I was like, that's so rude. Like,
it is.
I know some of your sheep got lost, but...
Come on.
Rude.
So,
how else are they supposed to pass the time?
Seriously, I was saying that. I was like... Freaking have no cell phones or anything. That would be so freaking boring. Oh my gosh.
Like the other thing too with this movie, I was like, I could see it. Because like they're also like just getting naked to like shower shower like right next to each other. So uh-huh. Like they're seeing each other naked all the time too. Right. Like, and obviously when you're out in the middle of nowhere, what are you gonna do? Hide? Like, ooh.
Right. Like, exactly. No. So they ended up meeting up a couple times a year.
As a butt girl, I liked it.
Oh my gosh.
They did it very well too, because it would be like in the background kind of like blurry. And it would just be focused on the person that's sitting there like cooking the meal.
Oh man. So they okay. So there's a scene coming up where Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, they jump off the mm-hmm. rock mm-hmm. naked. That was not supposed to, like, you weren't supposed to see anything, but they put it in because a paparazzi got a picture of it, so they couldn't, like, they were like, well, it's already out there, might as well keep it in.
Thank you, paparazzi. I know, I was watching and I was like, dang, that's like
everything. Yeah, I was like, oh man, okay, there we go.
That's funny.
Anyways, okay, so they meet up a couple times a year and they have some fun, and eventually about 5 years later Ennis's wife leaves him. Mm-hmm. And a few years later after that, Ennis's ex now you got some.
I have a note.
Okay.
It breaks my heart when Jack comes in the movie the second he hears about the divorce, like, yes,
I know,
we're gonna go.
That was so sad.
And it's just like, says no, I can't this weekend. I'm like, this dude just drove from Texas to come be with you because he heard about your divorce.
I know,
you can't even like come to dinner with me and my kids, like hang out until the kids are asleep.
That's because he partially blames him for the end of the marriage,
which is stupid.
Yes. All right. So a few years later, Ennis's ex, who is pregnant again because she's married again, was chatting, and she confronted Ennis about Jack, and he got pissed, and he grabs her wrist, yelling, none of her business, and she's yelling for her current husband.
None of her business.
Yelling that it's none of her business, and she's yelling for her current husband, and like he leaves all pissed off.
Mm-hmm. And that happens exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. It actually like was way more intense than I imagined it, but it made sense how it happened.
Yeah, I know. That's when I was watching it, I was like, oof, I didn't expect him to do this. And then I was like, okay, but also it's kind of like, because not only is she accusing him of cheating mm-hmm. and being the reason that their marriage ended, but she's accusing him of being gay.
Uh-huh.
And he, in his head, still has this image of someone brutally murdered.
Right.
So he's like, I can't be gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, it makes sense.
It made sense.
It was perfect.
Yes, it was. Okay, so Jack's father-in-law mm-hmm. died. So his wife now took over the ranch, and she's pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack and Ennis meet up regularly still, and they camp all around the mountain, and they spend time together, and they chat about life. And Jack thinks his kid is dyslexic, but his wife is the boss, and she doesn't think anything's wrong, so nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want the kid in the first place. And I'm just like, oh, your life is so sad.
I know. Well, it's like, I have a feeling a lot of people in the 60s had to lead lives that they didn't want to lead.
Yep.
Because of society being assholes.
Yeah, definitely. And so Ennis told Jack at the end of their trip that he couldn't meet up in August like they were planning. And Jack's quite upset about this. He's like, why'd you wait so long to tell me? And why does it always have to be in the cold? Why can't we go to Mexico? And they ended up having a fight about not being together like they should be. And they ended up with having some makeup sex.
Yep. I will say. Oh, I thought that was a bug.
I did too. I was like, ah.
Same. So in the movie, the one thing that's like different, but also like there's not a whole heck of a lot of information to go off of, so this could have happened, is that Ennis goes and gets himself a new girlfriend while all this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like the girlfriend ends up meeting his kids and stuff too. So that's the only like main difference. But even then I'm like, but also I could see, because with how often these two meet up, he's obviously got some needs that aren't being met. So,
right.
And then
he has to have his cover up too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, stupid. You know what line gets me every time?
What?
Even when I read it. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh. There was a especially fun fact I didn't write down about that line.
Oh, tell me.
Let me see if I can find it.
I love how Jake says it. Okay. On the famous line, I wish I knew how to quit you, Jake Gyllenhaal said that line has moved. That line has moved. It has been mocked. It has been everything in between. But I remember coming out of that scene off that ridge of the hill and seeing a number of the crew, some of whom didn't even know what the movie was about, crying. When I first read that line, I was like, what is that? Now I realize that anybody who is loved knows what that feels like. The interesting part of casting us at such a young age was that we didn't completely understand what we were involved in. And that's the beauty of the movie as well.
Aw.
I know. Wasn't that good?
It was so sweet. I couldn't have many more fun facts. That's why I didn't put that one in. All right. Ennis gets a return postcard saying that Jack was deceased. He calls his number and his wife confirms, saying that the tire blew and the rim hit him in the face and broke his jaw and he drowned it in his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And Ennis thought, nope, somebody killed him because they found out. And he found out he wanted his ashes on Brokeback, but no one had any idea where that was. Half the ashes stayed with his wife and half went to Jack's parents. So Ennis went to visit the parents and spoke to Dad about how he knew Jack and he wanted to bring... Visit the parents, and Dad spoke about how he knew that Jack wanted to bring Ennis and fix up the ranch,
mm-hmm.
and he made plans to bring another guy to do this too. And he's like, oh, yep.
He was messing with other dudes.
And he definitely was found out and murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And... And it's just remembers a story about how horrible Jack's dad was to him. Like, he freaking peed on him when he was learning how to potty train and all this crap. And so he went and saw his old room and he saw a shirt that he had worn that summer at Brokeback. And inside his shirt was Ennis's shirt
that he thought he had lost.
Yes. And his parents overrode his wishes and was like, nope, he's getting buried in the family cemetery. So Ennis decided to go get a postcard of Brokeback and pin it in his trailer and hang the shirts under the postcard.
Yeah. I like that his mom just let him take the shirts.
I know. Like, there was no even questioning.
She's just like, here's a bag for you.
Yep.
And then the other difference is that Alma Jr., Ennis's daughter, is getting married. And so she comes and asks her dad, because they haven't had the best relationship. Mm-hmm. She asks her dad if he'll be at the wedding. And he at first kind of seems like he's going to say no. And then he says yes.
Yeah.
And then after she leaves, he goes and looks at his shirt.
Yeah.
With Jax.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sweet.
Yeah. I also thought it was funny in the book how he goes to find a postcard of Brokeback, but they didn't have any. And so he asks the cashier lady. She's like, oh, I can order about 100 of them for you. And he's like, no, one is good. Like, why would you need 100? But I think in the movie, it was one of their postcards, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first one that Jack had sent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
We did it, guys. Super quick.
A half an hour.
Yeah, basically. It's literally going to maybe be a 45-minute episode, depending on what I cut.
All right, cool. Yeah,
maybe an hour.
All right, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
An hour because we talked a lot.
Of nothing.
About the chemist.
Oh, you're right.
Gosh.
All right, we got casting. IMDb cast 63 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Heath Ledger played Ennis.
Like we've said, perfect.
I read the book before seeing the movie, and I didn't know which one played which.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Heath Ledger better play Ennis. And when I watched it, I was like, it's because he's perfect.
I couldn't remember for the life of me when I was reading it. I was like, I cannot remember who is who. And I was like, I can't remember if when I watch it, I'm sad because Heath dies and he really dies, or if I'm sad because Jake dies and I love him. And then like halfway through, I was like, I'm pretty sure Jake dies.
No, I would have been so mad if they switched roles. They were
They were perfect for who they were cast as. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal is
Jack Twist.
Yep.
And like perfect. We just said, absolutely perfect. No one else could have played him.
Nope. Randy Quaid is Joe, the boss.
I mean, he did fine.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams is Alma.
Yeah, she did really good.
Uh-huh.
What else is she in?
She's in a lot.
I recognized her.
What would you have seen her in?
I don't know. Wait.
Oh, duh. Yeah, she's in Venom.
The Greatest Showman. Who is she in The Greatest Showman?
Oh, she's his wife. Oh. Hugh's wife.
That's where I know her from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anne Hathaway played Laureen.
Laureen Newsom.
Yes.
She's okay. Like, I didn't recast her, but I feel like she could have been better.
She wasn't who I entirely envisioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. But I agree.
But Laureen was barely in it, so I didn't really have an idea of who I wanted.
It's not like Jack also described her, because Jack wasn't
into her.
Yeah. So we didn't know much about her. So for what she had, she was fine. But that's not who I pictured at all.
Yeah. But not enough to recast.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, man, you're fine. Because like I said, I don't even... She's not a character in the book, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Roberta Maxwell is Jack's mom. I loved her.
Yeah, she was
for her like one little wrap in the little
Closing the clothes in the bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter McRobbie, Jack's dad. Oh my gosh, he was like perfect.
Yeah, he did great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Linda Cardellini.
Cardellini. Yeah.
Is she Velma?
Yeah.
Okay.
She is. And Jess's sister and New Girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I love her.
She's Cassie. She was I just put her in there because she's famous.
Random girlfriend.
Yeah, that's not in the book.
Yeah.
And then
I put
Cheyenne Hill and Kate Mara, who are Alma Jr., 13 and 19, because she had actually a role in the movie.
Yeah.
Yep. And I liked both of them.
Yeah, they were great.
They looked just like them mixed together.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I really thought that Cheyenne Hill was their kid, because from the pictures of their kid at that age, she had that blonde curly hair.
So how funny.
I was like, oh, did they get the kid?
Nope.
Just kidding.
She would have just been born.
Yep. Whoops.
All right. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Do the characters stay true?
Yes, they do.
Yep. Which do you prefer? So your movie first. Which mm-hmm. do you prefer?
I love the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm sticking movie. Mm-hmm. The book is great too, and it's a quick read, so honestly I could take that, but I like all the detail that the movie adds.
Mm-hmm. I had such a hard time deciding.
I know.
Because the movie has just made it 10 times more sad, right? Because yeah. you're so invested yeah. in the characters, mm-hmm. and you get to know them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And like the book was very sad too.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, the book is so quick.
I know. Like you don't get invested as much.
Yeah. All the big things happen and then you're on to the next thing. And then the next big thing happens and then you're on to the next big thing and then it's done.
It is. Yes. But it was like, but it didn't feel rushed. Like the way it was written was so good.
Yeah.
I had such a hard time, but I think I'm going to go movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling. I mm-hmm. thought you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the movie's just, I love this movie.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. Okay, that was it. Yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. You're yeah. probably like, woo, your first really short one.
Finally, we've been waiting for those.
What we need is books that are spot on and short.
Yes.
Oh woo. My
gosh. Let's do it. All right. Well, okay, we got our Wednesday minisode.
Yes, we do.
And next week...
Justin McGee's back.
Yes. With
Aragorn. Yeah, I should have let you.
I know. That's why I didn't say it. I was going to look. You say Aragorn.
There you go.
Okay. Guys, I say Aragorn.
The whole episode.
So
be prepared to be like, no, you guys aren't talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, just yell at your speakers the yeah. entire
time. Send us a video of it.
Of you just yelling at me.
No, it's Aragorn.
Yep. But anyways.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed, rate, and reviewed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.